Hello, ladies. I just want to welcome you back. I'm so glad that you're here and get to enjoy Miss Francie again and the wonderful message that she has for us today. Is there anyone, raise your hand if you did not get a sheet from Crystal that has the notes. Raise your hand high and she'll come find you. Just leave it up until she gets to you, please. And anyway, Francie, I'll turn it over to you.
No singing,
unless Crystal has some singing playing, but you do not want to hear me sing, so that is not my gift.
If you want to do a song, go for it, sister.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm so glad to be back this morning. How many of you were here yesterday? May I see your hands? That's a lot of the room. Then I've got to ask it the other way. How many of you were not here yesterday? Okay, a few of you. Then for your sake, I will say I'm Francie Taylor. I used to say I'm Francie Taylor from First Baptist Church in Rosemount, Minnesota, and I would forget that I lived in Pensacola now, but now I live in Pensacola, and I'm at Campus Church, and I teach the senior college girls one of their Bible classes. Now, they have the choice as seniors in college. This is different from the old days. If any of you went to PCC back in the old days, you know that you didn't get to pick where you went. You were told where you went. Now they have all kinds of freedom. Just go ahead and let's have a moment of silence for jealousy. Yeah. They have so many. It's a different campus now, but they get to pick where they're going to go for Sunday school. Now, that just changed a year ago. So when that changed, I thought, well, there goes my Sunday school class, because they were coming kind of because I was the only choice if you weren't dating. That's literally how my class was identified. Girls who were dating could go to class with their boyfriends. But girls who weren't dating, well, Mrs. Taylor's class is down the hall. So that's how I inherited, I thought, anyway, this class. And so I said to my co-teacher, Laura, well, let's bring fewer snacks next week because we aren't going to have any girls. They can go anywhere they want now. If I was a college student, I'd go to an adult class so I could spy on them and hear all the stuff you're supposed to know. So that's what I thought was going to happen. And that next week when our class met, we had 130 girls. It used to be 75. I brought treats for 40. So once again, I miscalculated, and it didn't go well for those who came in late. But after that, we got the hang of it. But we wanted to spend that semester equipping the girls to apply the Bible to their lives. So we focused on 2 Peter chapter 1, the add to your faith chapter, that passage of scripture. And that add to your faith actually means furnish your faith. So we took it down that direction where we were furnishing rooms in our lives. And add to your faith, it says that we need virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. We studied all of those principles, all those characteristics throughout the semester, weaving real life things into those characteristics. Because here's where a senior in college lives. They're getting ready to move their tassel, throw that hat off, take off that gown, and go off into adulthood. So we talked about things that are about to happen when you're not on a campus anymore with people telling you everything you have to do. You have to go to church. You have to tap in so you can prove you went to church. You have to go to class. You have to tap in and prove you went to class. You have to take this exam on this date, and you've got to do this by that. Do you realize that when you send your kids off to college, somebody's telling them what to do every day, and then suddenly they move a tassel, take off a gown, and they're supposed to know what to do? You know how earth-shattering that is? So we decided, let's equip them a little bit better, because they literally are walking out of there, and all of a sudden it's, now what do I do? And so we give principles in the class on what to do. And this morning, it's just more of the same. If you've ever heard me teach before, you know that most of my lessons are Bible application lessons. It's very rare that they're not. And this morning is no different. I was invited to teach at a conference in Connecticut. And this is hard for me when I'm teaching. They gave me an assignment. And when I'm writing lessons, I don't think in themes at all, because I don't have that wiring to think in themes. So if you're a theme type person and you think of a conference and you can think, oh, let's call it Stepping in the Light, and then there'll be shoes all across the platform. If you're that kind of girl, then you're not me. I'm thinking, what will help them walk this out? That's how I'm always thinking. And so they asked me to teach a lesson on chaos, and I thought, what do you do with that? Ding! And then I thought, how many of us know people who seem like they're so stressed out all the time? How many of us know people who are stuck in that mode? They're so stressed out, they don't ever have any calm. They're almost living like life is ganging up on them all the time. You know, that's not how God meant for us to live. But it's also unreasonable for us to think that life will be free from trouble, isn't it? Because we already know, in fact, in the book of Job, it says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We're going to have things that happen to us, sister friends, that are not in our planners. So after I kind of warmed up to this theme that they gave me about chaos, the Lord gave me a lesson that I thought, oh boy, Father, first I need this. But I'm going to be delighted to share it with you this morning too, in the hopes that there'll be something in here, some little nugget that works for your life that God was already talking to you about. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I heard yesterday, you spoke to me about, no, I didn't. I'm just the delivery girl. I just bring the food hot and ready, and you get to decide if you want to eat or not. That's what delivery people do. But I'm the humble servant girl who's not scared of microphones, but I'm one of you. I have the same issues of life you have. I face problems exactly like you do. In fact, last week was cluttered with problems. And I thought, sure, right on time, because I'm getting ready to go. So sure, there's going to be distractions. But that's how it can be, but it doesn't mean that it's an operating system. Chaos is something that happens in life. It isn't how God meant for us to live. What is chaos anyway? An abbreviated definition is confusion and disorder. We know when we're in it, but sometimes we're not aware, are we making it worse? Sometimes things happen, had nothing to do with anything we did. Other times we could actually be disturbing our own peace. So we're going to open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to study four things we can do, questions to ask when life has too much chaos. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for yesterday, too. I'm so excited, Lord, to be here. And I'm looking so forward to hearing Pastor Blaylock preach. But right now, here we are, Lord. We're studying the Bible again together as sisters in Christ. And I pray that you would speak to each one of us, because we all have something unique that you're touching in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray that anything you touch, we will yield it to you, and right away. We commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the opening verse together in this lesson, Be Still in the Chaos, When Life Has Too Much Chaos. By the way, when should I be done? Because I don't want to see a bunch of guys peeking in the door. 10:40? Easy. We'll piece of cake. Okay, good. Our goal is to finish before the men, and we're going to skid into home plate before the guys. So let's do it. Let's read Psalm 119:169 together. Ready? Begin. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Some questions we can ask ourselves when life has too much chaos. The first question, is it self-inflicted? It's something we just have to ask ourselves. That's part of examining yourself, searching yourself, having the Lord try you or test you. Proverbs 16:2, and you'll notice on your handouts that the verse is there. It'll also be up on the screen, though, so that you don't have to do a lot of hunting. But Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. In other words, we have our reason for doing things, but you know what? God knows the underlying motive of what we do. Every time. We can even in our minds put things in kind of terms that make us more comfortable when we're doing something that we actually know is probably not the best idea. Have you ever tried to justify yourself? Yeah. Yeah. That's a human characteristic, and it's another way of all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. When we're trying to justify ourselves, or when we feel like we have to explain something so that it can be manipulated into the direction we want it to go, we're on the turf of, we're looking at things only through our lenses. And when we look at things through our lenses, it's always going to be good if it has anything to do with us. It's hard for us to see ourselves as God sees us, and that's both the negative and the positive. We don't often see our own sin as clearly as we see someone else's. We also don't see how much he loves us as clearly as he does. So we need his help with all of this. But all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, so this is our handicap. But the Lord can come in and weigh the spirits. In other words, he can say, what's really underneath what you're doing? Why are you choosing that? What's your real motive? He knows. But we sometimes aren't pausing long enough to pay attention and know on our own. So here's some things we can do under number one. First of all, realize priorities restore order. These aren't going to pop up on the screen. My slides are just so simple, mainly because sometimes it just makes so much gymnastics for the sound people to have to click and click and click and click. And Mr. Soundman, you probably do it all the time. But with me, you're going to get these flat, static slides. He gave me thumbs up, so I'm getting a really good Christmas present from the Dollar Tree. They like it when it's simple. Keep it simple, sister friend. So priorities restore order. Sometimes we end up with chaotic lives because we're in the habit of planning before we prayed about things. So we've got this agenda, and we're driving this agenda, but did we pray? If you ever find that your life has suddenly had the peace vanish, take a step back and see, have you run ahead of God in some area, some way? Is there something that you're doing and you never even asked him if it was okay? There could be things that we do that we think it's okay to do without asking, but actually the wisest course to take is ask God about everything. Even the smallest thing. You don't know if that very small detail can't make a huge difference in the outcome of your life. So remember that these priorities are going to help restore order. Another thing under number one, never add when you need to subtract. Now, if your life is already chaotic and you're trying to figure out, is this self-inflicted? The answer is yes, it is self-inflicted if you keep adding to a schedule that's already overbooked. This goes without saying, but I'm saying it because sometimes we didn't get this aircraft to land on our runway. We somehow missed this. And so it is not going to ever help a person who's already got a chaotic life when somebody comes up and says, can you do this? And then you say, yeah, I guess I can do that. No! Practice no. Do you need to stand in the mirror and do it? I'll help you. Let's do it together. Form your lips in a really good O, and let's say no. No. Ready? Begin. No. Yeah, like that. That's good. Yeah, because you're not the best woman for every job. Now, this doesn't mean turn down everything, and I'm certainly not saying give up your ministry responsibilities or anything like that, but what I am saying is don't add when you need to subtract. When life is chaotic, don't pile on more, otherwise you're making it worse. And finally, under number one, are you spending too much time on digital? And guess what? Those of you who are so proud of the fact that you don't have Facebook and you don't have Instagram, do you have a TV? It's digital. That's why I didn't say your phone. I used to say your phone, and then I thought, oh, but then there's this whole group in the room that feels so proud of themselves because I don't have. Yeah, you're better off without Facebook. You're better off without Instagram. Some of us have it only because that's how people find our ministry. But some of the rest of you just sit there for hours, and you know that. You know that you can scroll and watch Dancing Grannies for like an hour and a half. You know you're doing it. But then when it comes to Scripture, you're super underweight. Because that time that could have been spent, even 5 minutes in the Word of God, will equal a whole chapter of Proverbs. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm so busy. And then when I try, I start and I stop. But did you notice how easy it is to get addicted to digital? So those of you who have phones, have you noticed how bossy they are in our lives? How we're almost never off? I do challenge you to put more control on your digital devices, whichever ones you use. And those of you who don't overdose on your phone, be careful. You're not exempt. If you're sitting in front of a TV and you're watching news reports on a continuous loop, you're making yourself so stressed out. They are selling one thing and one thing. Number one, fear. There's other things for sale too, but fear is their favorite. So you could get to the point where you're an aged woman, and I'm one of those. You might, well, you know that, right? I'm 66. Did you know that? I keep repeating it because I like for people to know, first of all, my age, because we shouldn't have to be funny or ashamed of our ages. No, girls, that means you got to live. It's a good thing to have age. But the other thing, I like people to know my birthday so they don't miss it. So on February 21st, 1958, Francie was born. Caused my parents all kinds of consternation, and now here I am today. So if you've got a child that's a lot of work, there's hope. She stands right here. My middle name should be Hope. But we've got to be really careful about allowing these digital devices, whether it's your TV or your phone or whatever it is, to cause chaos in our lives. It is so abnormal. I can't go to a powder room in the airport where someone's not in the stall next to me having a phone conversation, and it's all the time. It's just all the time now. And I'm wondering, you can't go to the bathroom and not be on the phone? What kind of prison is this? It's just awful. But it's actually becoming so normal that people don't think a thing of it. Now, in the early days when cell phones first came out, if someone was talking in the powder room, the person in the stall next to them might answer them because they thought they were talking to them. Now, though, we know that it doesn't have anything to do with us. But is that you? If your digital devices are causing you chaos, then you want to control those. Ask the Lord what you need to do, how you need to cut it back, how you can bring it in order. Two things to check if you're having self-inflicted chaos. Check your motives and check your methods. Number two out of four, is it life-inflicted? Now this verse, Proverbs 20, verse 24, was in our session yesterday. But it's something that we really need to really realize, and that is that man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Sister friends, like I said yesterday, it's always going to be true that we will not always understand what God's doing. Some things won't make any sense at all. And getting to the point where we accept that God is God, and therefore God can do what God will do, and that he's still worthy of our trust, we'll be at a lot more peace. But if we feel like that should never have happened in my life, or that should never have happened to them, or God, why did you, the why would God question is a great way to sour a person's spirit. Why would God is similar to saying, I know better than God. That's not what you really mean, is it? Then be careful about why would God? Because really, honestly, he is God. He's the potter, we're the clay. So what can he do with his clay? Whatever he wants to do with his clay. I really am convinced we forget that we're souls in bodies on our way out. I think we think this is permanent. We're here for at least half of forever. And life is supposed to be orderly, and it's supposed to fit in the boxes I put it in. But it doesn't work like that. Has it worked like that yet? What day are you waiting for? It doesn't work like that. God gets to say what he's going to do. God gets to say how it's going to go. And our best position is to get into the position where we really mean it when we say, thy will be done. It's okay, though, to be honest with God. Don't think I'm up here telling you to be fake. When you are frustrated, there's one person who will listen to you all the time, and that's God. In fact, he never gets tired of hearing from you ever. Even if you repeat yourself, Lord, I'm having a hard time with this. That's honest prayer. Lord, I don't understand this. That's genuine, honest prayer. But be careful about asking why. That's frustrated prayer. And we don't want to approach God with that spirit of frustration and stay there. It may be an initial reaction, but you don't want that to be a permanent position or a permanent attitude. And then another thing to consider under number two, when a crisis shows up in your life, and this is when, rest is not optional. I can't tell you how many people I've heard brag about, I can survive on 4 hours of sleep. No, you can't. You're just up and dressed. That's what I call fake awake. I've done it. I go to the airport fake awake all the time. But you know what? No, the human body, the way God designed it, needs sleep, just like it needs food, just like it needs activity. So if you've been in a crisis and then you can't sleep those first few days of the crisis, that's human and normal. But if you start choosing not to sleep, that's not normal. And you don't want to do that. You'll just make the crisis magnified. You'll make the chaos greater. Because you know what happens to us when we don't sleep? I know you know. Tell me what happens to a person who hasn't had sleep. Just shout out a few examples. Okay, that was, did I hear somebody say crabby? Okay, and what else did I hear? Okay, thank you. Wrong decisions, because you have altered your ability to have a sound mind by depriving it of sleep. Excellent answer. What else did I hear? Grumpy is so true, because we're not meant to go without sleep. So even if you have chaos going on, I mean, times 100, we need to prioritize rest in order to deal with the life-inflicted chaos. Remember, we're talking now about things that we didn't have anything to do with, but they entered into our lives, and we're going to need rest so we have the strength to endure the journey that's ahead of us. And finally, under number two, accept offers to help when you're going through life-inflicted stress. This is not a time to turn away the lifeboats. Sister friends, when you have something that comes into your life and it's just absolutely unheard of, extremely stressful, you didn't do anything and there it showed up and it's without an invitation. If somebody comes up to you and says, what can I do to help? In your mind, already be prepared to answer that. And even if your answer is, you choose. Sometimes you really don't know how to answer it. But God knows what you need and God can direct that person. But if you're the person offering to help, let me give you a suggestion. Because people who offer to help, there's a lot of givers at this place. I know your type. So you're the kind who would just rush to somebody's aid. Have a plan prepared. When you see somebody that's in crisis, instead of walking up and saying, what can I do to help? Here's a better question. Would you like a grocery gift card, or you want me just to have the groceries delivered? Because then they can just choose A or B. Very few people are going to turn down an offer that you've made to them that's that simple. What would you like, gift card or the groceries delivered? And do you know why I said the groceries delivered? Because then they don't have to talk. Have you ever felt obligated to stand and have a conversation with someone when you're in the midst of a crisis because they were so kind to you? Let's eliminate adding stress and try to take some away. Someone's going to have something happen in your church family if it's not already happening now, and you're going to be part of the rescue squad. Prepare. Always have some shekels set aside. Call it your help fund. And it's designed for you to be a help to someone else. And then give them their options. Hey, grocery gift card or delivered groceries. Instacart can send whatever. And then if they don't even have the thought process to make a list, make a practical list. I know you can keep a body alive a long time on rotisserie chicken and salad, especially if you throw in a good dressing. But when we are in this life-inflicted chaos, it requires trusting God and waiting on the Lord. And finally, remind yourself, God didn't make a mistake. The enemy will try to trick you into feeling like you are in something that is just, you know, the thunderstorm is only parked over your house, kind of thinking, no, God hasn't made a mistake. You can still trust him, but you will have to wait on him. Number three out of four, are we following God? When we're trying to figure out what is all this chaos, we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, am I following God? Psalm 119 verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. It's a good habit to examine our lives for errors on a regular basis. Some things creep into our lives just because we're part of this world. We're in this world. We're not supposed to be of it, but we're in this world. And so we pick up sometimes these infections of the culture. We're massively overexposed to wrong philosophies. And, I mean, we have 100,000 ways to live ungodly thrown in front of us at all times. So we have to be careful that we don't get casual about walking with God and following the principles of His Word. Ask yourself, and you don't have to even talk to anybody but you and God about this, is there anything going on in your life that you would actually not be able to call biblical? Anything at all? Are you engaging in any relationships, behaviors? Have you picked up any habits? Are you embracing any thoughts that you actually can't line up with Scripture? It's a good idea just to ask ourselves, am I still following God? Or am I just a very good church member? Oh, anybody can do that. That's like Sparky at the zoo. I went to church. I went back to the car. I went to lunch. Anybody can do that. But not just anybody can follow God. That is very intentional. You have set your face like a flint when you're following God. You are asking questions at all times, both of yourself and of the Lord. Lord, help me to understand how to follow you because I'm not exactly sure at all times what I'm doing. Lord, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Oh boy, Lord, I don't want to do this wrong. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed, Lord, don't let me mess this up? That's one of my favorite prayer requests. I'm sorry, but Francie is so 100% capable of messing stuff up. And I ask God to help me. That's the same as asking him, Psalm 143, verse 8, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Lord, I naturally walk crooked. Please help me walk straight. We can ask him and he wants to answer it because it is biblical. It's his will. Now, it is possible that we're doing things that are unbiblical and that will lead to chaos. So if that happens to be the case in your life, would you take some prayer time today and let God examine you and search you and try you and pay particular attention as he touches? Because God can touch areas in our lives. In fact, when Pastor Blaylock comes to preach, he doesn't know item by item, line by line, what's going on in all of our lives in this room. But God does, and God could have something come out of his mouth that's like, bullseye, talking to you, girl. And you'll be thinking, spies in the camp. How could he have known? Have you ever had that moment in church? How did he know? God knew, and God told on you. So pastor comes up, opens his notes, opens his Bible, starts preaching him. Bam! We get it right between the eyeballs. It's God. It's just because he loves us. And a God who loves us, a Father who loves us like he loves us, he doesn't want us off course. But are we willing to let him get us back on course? Please don't be a stubborn mule. When God is trying to get you to redirect your steps, don't be like that mule that you have to put a bit and a bridle in their mouth to direct it, like it says in Scripture. Let God guide. Let him have every single area, including the closets in your life. Let him have every single sin, including the pets that you've been hiding. Let God have all of you because he wants us to follow him, because guess what he knows about when we follow him? He knows that it's where the blessings are. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, the Bible says, and that seek him with the whole heart. I absolutely love that, but we have to be willing to do our part. And finally, number four, are we feeding our souls? And we talked about this yesterday, but I don't think you'll ever invite me here where I won't bring this up. I'm always going to bring up daily Bible study. You're going to hear it again and again and again. I can't stop. And the reason why I bring it up so often is for some people, the plane didn't land the first time that we came in. So we're bringing it in on another runway. So here we come in on another runway on this issue. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Have you ever thought about the fact that your soul needs love? Needs food, we talked about yesterday. Needs nourishment, needs us to care for it. We don't think about the soul very much. It's not. When's the last time you saw somebody advertise a product for the soul? But you'll see lots of ads for products for the body, won't you? Because the focus in our world is on the body, as if it's going to be here forever. That's why they can sell us things like anti-aging creams. That is just such a crack up. Like, okay, how come it's not working? You know, I smeared it all over. What's the matter here? It's not anti-aging me. Yeah, this is such a crazy place now to live. This is really something. If we're not steeped in Scripture, we'll believe anything. There is no such thing as anti-aging, but there is such a thing as an eternal soul. And your eternal soul needs attention. It needs you to feed it God's word. There's a really terrible thing that happens when a person is starving, and I'll tell you briefly about this study that was done. There was this research scientist from Minnesota, where I used to live, and his name was Ansel Keys, and he wrote about the changes that happen when a person has had physical starvation for a long period of time. And the people who were the subjects of this study, because, you know, they weren't finding volunteers to sign up to be starved. So what they had to do is they had to take conscientious objectors. And those were the people who were put into this study. And here's what happened when they were prolonged physical starvation. Here's what happened to them. There were significant increases in depression and hysteria. This came from withholding food. There were periods of severe emotional distress and increased irritability. No surprise there. That's also known as hangry. And then there was social withdrawal and isolation. After the starvation continued to go on, now they didn't want any people around them. They were suffering. And then finally, there was a decline in comprehension, concentration, and they lost their ability to have judgment. Now think of that from the spiritual realm. Let's look at those same characteristics when you starve your soul. Same symptoms, significant increases in depression and anxiety. Apart from the Word of God, where are you going to get your hope? This is really not surprising. Periods of severe emotional distress and increased irritability? Yes. When we're apart from the Word, we can be so tart, so harsh, so uncaring about someone else's feelings. And this irritability, it's not directed at self. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and had an irritability session with yourself? No, the irritability is directed at other people, making us very difficult to live with. The absence of the Word of God makes self magnified and God minimized, and that's backwards. He must increase, we must decrease. We get it mixed up when we're not in the Word. We increase because He has decreased, and we start to show signs of spiritual starvation. Another sign of spiritual starvation, social withdrawal and isolation. And here's how it shows up. No, I'm not going to come to that event you're having, Crystal. No, I don't like groups. I'm not going to go to church because I don't feel like it today. I think I'd rather just live stream because I don't want to go. Not I can't go, not I'm physically unable, not I'm sick, but I don't want to. I'm going to just, and that social withdrawal and isolation leads to more social withdrawal and isolation. And then guess what happens? The person who's doing the withdrawing flips it on everybody else and says, they don't care about me. What? But guess what? There's nothing reasonable about the mind that's spiritually starved because it's unsound. Sister friends, do you want that? You don't want that. You absolutely must nourish your soul. One of the greatest forms of self-care is daily Bible reading. We hear a lot about self-care, but did you realize that you're in charge of it? So this is how you keep your heart with all diligence. You give it food. This is your soul food. Stop starving your soul. It needs you to feed it. Now, if you're feeling like, you know what, lately, Francie, I've been so broken down, I really don't think I'm going to be able to pull this off, then use an audio Bible. But get the word in you somehow. And you'll find that an audio Bible will be satisfactory for a temporary period of time, and then you'll be drawn back to the word, and you'll be reading again on your own, no problem. But the Bible is our soul food, so please nourish your soul. Sister, friends, your spiritual health and well-being are at stake here. Well, we're going to close. I hear men's voices in the foyer, so I'm just going to wrap this up. A great closing verse that we have for learning to be still and trust God in the chaos is Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The Bible commentator Matthew Henry said in reference to that verse, real holiness is real happiness. This doesn't mean that we're going to try to make an idol out of having calm lives. But what it does mean is that we're going to trust God to give us direction so that he can restore the calm. And when it's not possible for us to have that calm, then he will walk with us through whatever that chaos is. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we need you more than we can even comprehend. And Father, there are times in life that are so chaotic, so out of control. And quietly, we just try to rough it and endure it without coming to you and asking you, what would you like us to do? I pray for each woman in this room that whatever is going on in her life, whatever it is you want to touch, that she will yield that area to you so completely so that she can be fully and wholly yours, and so that you can give her that beautiful quietness and peace of God that passeth all understanding, that can only come from you. Bless the preaching that follows. And we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.